And hello again and welcome to Writers on Writing on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. We are broadcasting from the University of California, Irvine campus and on the web at kuci.org. So if you're by a phone, give a call to people out of town and tell them to just go to kuci.org. They can click on, I think it says something like listen live or listen now or something. And you click on that and you can pretty quickly get online and listen to the show. I'm Barbara DeMarco Barrett, and Writers on Writing features authors, editors, literary agents, and poets discussing the art and the business of writing. And I should also say that the opinions and views that you hear on this show are those of me and my guest and not those of the University of California, Irvine Regents. All right. My guest today is Judy Reeves. Judy was on a couple of weeks ago, and we just had a couple of glitches. And so she was only on for a minute a couple of weeks ago, actually something more like 5 minutes. And I wanted to talk to her for longer than that. And so we're going to bring her on. She's the author of a number of books. The one I'm holding in my hand right now is called The Writer's Book of Days. She's also author of The Writer's Retreat Kit. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Barbara.
How are you?
I am fine. It's wonderful to be back.
I'm glad it worked out.
Oh, I'm so pleased you invited me back. Thank you.
Tell me about your books. I named two of them. I believe you have more.
I do. The Writer's Book of Days was the first book that came out, and I think, I was trying to remember the chronology, 1999. The second book that I did about writing is called Writing Alone, Writing Together, and it came out in 2002. And then a Creative Writer's Kit, which is a kind of a kit with a booklet and also some cards, and it's based on the first book, A Writer's Book of Days. And then the Writer's Retreat Kit, is about, well, writers' retreats, and it came out last spring. And they're all from New World Library.
Now, how did these books come about? How did you, especially the first one, A Writer's Book of Days, well, did you intend to write a book about writing, about an inspirational book, a sort of a quirky book years ago, or did you just find yourself writing?
Well, my intention was, because I had done drop-in writing practice groups where we work just from prompts, mm-hmm. Whatever a prompt might be, and the idea is at any given time anybody can take this prompt and off you go, untimed focused writings. And I have done a number of those groups for a number of years and writing marathons and all that, and my idea was to do a calendar for people so that they could actually just kind of, in fact, I wanted to do a scratch-off so it would be like a surprise. Every day they would scratch off and there would be the prompt and they could just make an appointment with themselves, sit down, scratch it off, there would be the prompt and they could go on writing for however long they wanted. And so the proposal looked like that, that I was, you know, presenting a calendar that would also have all this other information that's in the book about other writers and using a lot of inspirational quotes and maybe some hints and ideas and guidelines. New World Library doesn't do calendars, and they said, would you be willing to put it into a book? And of course I was willing. I hadn't considered doing that, but I'm just delighted that I did, and delighted working with New World Library, and I had a fine editor there, and this book has been... It's been a really popular book as far as people who want to do that kind of writing, mm-hmm. and just, you know, set off with a prompt. And I think you do that kind of work with your groups also.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So you know how effective it is and how effective it can be.
Well, there's so much that can come out of, say, just doing a timed writing to two words and using the timer or some sort of time block as a deadline.
There's something, isn't there, something about the intensity of... Okay, I'm going to write for 17 minutes, and I'm just going to keep my pen moving.
Right.
And there's something about the intensity that, for some reason, my writing always seems fresher when I work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that, you know, I don't know exactly what that is. I was just looking up in A Writer's Book of Days. Is today the 15th?
Yes.
Write about a red convertible.
I'm going to turn to that page.
Okay.
Write about a red convertible.
That is the prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens what my own experience is and people I've worked with is as soon as I say write about a red convertible, an image comes to mind, like the intuitive self, you know, the intuition is just sitting there waiting with all this, you know, inventory of images. So red convertible, you grab a hold of whatever tail of that image you can and just start writing. And who knows, you know, and if you're working with, oh, 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 different writers in a room, you're going to have that many different stories or essays or personal experiences or poems or whatever about a red convertible, fiction, nonfiction, fantasy.
I like that about this book, that you have a lot of different things going on. You know, you have those, the prompts for each day of the year, and then you have all kinds of other things. I think the last time we talked, we were talking about Voltaire. Was it Voltaire who used
his lover's
naked back for a desk
for a
or
desk,
something?
Right.
I actually heard from a listener about that quote. He really liked that quote, by the way. Or that fact.
And I think it's Rudyard Kipling who wanted an ink boy to grind him some ink. I can't remember exactly.
An ink boy.
An ink boy, yes. I've always wanted an ink boy to grind me my ink.
I do, too. I want an ink boy. God, I didn't know there were such things.
Well.
How did you find this out? I mean, it seems that this book might have also entailed a bit of research.
A lot of research, and it was so much fun to do. I pulled out all, you know, I went down to the library, pulled out all the old Paris reviews, got all those interviews, just so many books on writing, and I was just, you know, I was just voracious, reading everywhere and writing down these quotes, and I have two or three three by five file boxes full of quotes and information and facts and just things that amused me, that interested me. And I just kind of, you know, gathered, and then looked to see what kind of structure would come out of what I was, you know, putting together here, what I had found out, and then kind of built the book brick by brick using the things that I wanted to say that I felt were important to say about writing practice and the idea of doing it and the how to actually do it, and then bringing in all this other research that I had done. And if you see on the sides of every page, also in the marginalia, are all of these quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear from people, they say, you know, my favorite part of that book is the quotes.
Yes.
But people, I don't know, we like to know about other writers, and I felt that was important to put in there. It's almost like, okay, I know I'm crazy, but if I can find somebody who's a little crazier than me,
mm-hmm.
or if I read about this other writer and they did it this way, maybe if I try doing it that way, you know, it's like, do they have the magic key that will somehow make it, you know, make this work for me? I mean, we don't know what we're doing. We're kind of free-falling. And so to get other writers' experience, especially other writers who, you know, who are famous or who have really, you know, they've done all of this work and they have these libraries of books, and it's just reassuring, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is reassuring. Who am I? I'm thinking of Shelby Foote, and you said mm-hmm. something in here on one of these pages about facts and figures, and I recall a show on Bookspan before he was, or maybe right after he dies a few months back, that where he talked about using a dip pen to write because he thought you had to slow it way down.
Mm-hmm.
And in here you say, historian Shelby Foote was reported to write 500 to 600 words a day with a dip pen. It took him 20 years to complete his 1.5 million word trilogy on the Civil War. Talk
1.5. Holy moly.
Talk about patience.
A dip pen. I mean, I don't know how many words you can get per dip, but
you're dipping a lot.
But it would slow you down, and I like writing by hand, and I encourage people when they're doing writing practice or doing that first raw, you know, out of the gut writing to write by hand, because there is something about slowing down. And somebody said, you know, but I can't get every thought in, and I say, well, that's good, because not every thought wants to be there. Sometimes it's the space between the thoughts, or it's, you know, just slowing down. And also there's something I think really, well, writing is muscular. I can't remember who I who said that, but, you know, using our body so that it's not just our heads, but we're using the whole of our body and our hands sliding across the paper and the feel of the pen in our hands and our breath as we write and our heartbeats. And I think all of that goes to deepen us into the process. And the deeper we go, the more good, juicy stuff we can pull up, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and revising is a big deal, right? I mean, Leo Tolstoy, I'm reading here, rewrote War and Peace 8 times and was still making corrections on the galleys.
Have you heard of the poet who goes to the bookstores and pulls his books off the shelf and changes the lines?
No.
I don't know if that's true. Sometimes I think I may make stuff up, but I think this is true. But yeah, and it's almost like once we have done that raw good stuff that comes out from the intuitive part of us and, you know, just with that energy, and then it's like, oh, now we have to go to the other side of the brain, and we do have to think, and we do have to measure, and we do have to evaluate, and so we are using both sides of the brain and both, you know, and other parts of our, you know, our work. And this is what, when I often go to the computer, is after I've done that raw stuff, then I'll put it in the keyboard it in, and then work from that printed out form to rewrite. Not always, but often I will.
Hmm. You're listening to Writers on Writing. I am with Judy Reeves, who is author of a number of writing books. The one we're talking about right now is called A Writer's Book of Days, A Spirited Companion and Lively Muse for the Writing Life. I've been meaning to ask you, you divide your time between San Diego and Barcelona.
I have done that since 2003, and this summer I have decided to come back home and stay in San Diego, but I did do that for three years, about 2.5 years.
Now, how did that come about?
Well, Barbara,
you were just so successful with these books. It's like Barcelona, here I go.
No, actually, it was an invitation from a poet, and who's going to turn down an invitation from a poet to come and live in Barcelona?
Oh my gosh!
And I don't know about you, but from when I was a very young girl and dreaming of writing, I always imagined that I could be an expatriate writer. You know, it's so romantic, and it's just that persona who is. I didn't want to be in a garret. I'm too old to be in a garret, but just living in another country and writing and having that time and just being surrounded by all that is foreign, which is kind of, you know, it's a stimulating in a whole different way than the same old of being at home. And it was good for me, and I got a lot of writing done. But I, you know, the other part of me besides being a writer is I'm a teacher, and I miss that. I miss my writing community so much.
Mm-hmm.
that I decided I would come back. It was difficult for me going back and forth and back and forth, but I'll tell you, I recommend everybody give it a try.
Yeah.
And Barcelona is a wonderful place to try it.
I bet.
Yeah.
I know. I think Italy, Rome, okay, I could
do
that. Barcelona,
yes.
That, it would work.
You bet. Well, I hope you get to do that sometime.
Oh, me too. I am looking at another page in this book, and which is prompting a thought, and that is, you say that you're talking about writers who write it in different places, and you talk about Raymond Carver who took refuge in the car with a pad on his knee, or novelist Sarah Lewis who shut herself in the laundry room at 4:30 in the morning. Talk about that, because I find sometimes it's, you know, changing the atmosphere and just going to some unexpected place or at least leaving your desk can be a very welcome thing.
And I think it can be, too. We can get kind of in the habit, just kind of stuck in a place, and we don't notice things, and we're not so stimulated. Whereas, I don't know about you, but I'm a great cafe writer. I love to go to cafes and just be in that kind of atmosphere. There's something kind of stimulating about it, I think. I think that Raymond Carver did that because he had a house full of kids and a, you know, family and needed to go out there so that he could have the privacy. But I do think it is stimulating for us. In fact, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to Anza Borrego to stay for 3 days for my own writer's retreat, just because I, even though I have a studio away from the house where I, you know, that is my work space at home, I need to go away to just sink myself into it. It's amazing. Just, you know, the dust on the floor can make so much noise, you know, just the things that you need to get done, that temptation of email. I need to check my email again. There's that anxiety, I think, that is always present with the writing. When we're home, there's always something that we can go and do that feels productive. Mm. And I also think just going away sometimes helps us breathe deeper, pay more attention, open our senses to take in more, and then taking in more than we want to, or it does this for me anyway, then I want to write.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we have to go too far away. I mean, I think just moving from one chair to another can sometimes make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of writing books are, I think, new writers tend to pick them up more than experienced writers. And yet, writers who've been writing for a while deal with their own sorts of, you know, frustrations or places where they become, I don't know, feeling like they're in a rut. Yeah, I'm making a living writing, or yeah, I'm publishing books, but, you know, my writing is so lackluster, or am I really doing anything worthwhile, or, you know, whatever sort of doubts or discouragements creep in. What do you do with writers like that, where they don't need that initial inspiration, but they need to perhaps become re-inspired or need to see their own writing in a different way?
A lot of people who work with me in these drop-in writing practice groups are experienced writers, and they like the spontaneity of it. So I think there's something mm-hmm. to be said about that. I mean, I know a lot of writers use not necessarily my prompts, but this kind of thing, where maybe they don't need a book anymore. They know how to do it, but they need some kind of other stimulation because they're kind of bored.
Yeah.
It's the same old, same old. And I think that's even, you know, part of what we were just talking about, getting away from, you know, sitting in the same chair, doing the same kind of thing. And so I think that working with those kinds of, going to the intuitive and working with those prompts just to kind of stimulate yourself, I think being with other writers can help also, can be stimulating. Going away for a writer's retreat with other writers and just, you know, working together and just kind of bouncing things off each other, talking about things, or even writing things in group. I've been at places where, okay, you start the poem here, and then we pass it around, and just to get the juices going again. And sometimes when we're bored with ourselves and bored with our own writing, bouncing off someone else is just the thing that will open that up again.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my experience, and other people have told me that's true also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love to do free writing or writing practice because it's always so unexpected what's going to happen. Even if I know what project I'm working on and I'm going to do the writing for that particular project, it's still, I don't know what I'm going to write until I write it, even though I know I may be using certain characters. And I find that really interesting and useful, more than just, you know, sitting down without a timer or without a time block in terms of, you know, I have all day. And sometimes that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's better to have not much time.
Not much time. And as you say, not know, you know, okay, these characters and this is the scene they're going to be in, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So I'm just going to, you know, it's raining outside. That's where I'm going to start. It's raining outside. And often, I don't know about you and your groups, but what I hear so often from people who do this, that before they read out loud, because I always encourage people to read out loud, they say, I don't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. We don't. It's like we send messages to that intuitive part of us, you know, and there's already something, you know, there's some kind of an image or symbology or something that gets pulled up. It's like kind of like the, you know, constellations in the sky. We don't know really that they shape, you know, the big bear or the little bear or whatever it is, but then when you see, you kind of connect the dots and you see how it all fits together. And I think that intuitive writing or that writing practice is like that, the intuition, and you start writing and it's connecting those dots for you, and then whatever shows up on the page is the picture of what you didn't know you knew,
right.
What you didn't know you wanted to write about.
Mm.
That was kind of wild, wasn't
yeah,
it? I'm
yeah.
sorry, I went way off.
No. No, well, there is, I mean, I think there is a certain just letting go and opening up to the creative process and to allow it to happen instead of to kind of be a control freak about it.
Yeah,
which it's so easy to do or to want to do.
And the surprises, I think, keep us as writers fresh, too. Not knowing, you know, sitting down at the blank page and not knowing what's going to, you know, where we're going to go today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more exciting than being a plumber, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how plumbers do it, actually. I think they should be paid a whole lot more than they're paid because that's one of those jobs, you know?
Yeah, I do.
Anyway.
Have you ever heard a writer say they would rather be anything else?
Yeah, probably not, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Well, actually, Dennis Palumbo, he still writes, you know, and he's author of Writing from the Inside Out, and he was a screenwriter. But he's a he was on last week. He's a therapist in L.A. now that works mostly with creative people who are having creative problems. And he was a successful screenwriter. He wrote My Favorite Year and some sitcoms and such. And he was quite successful. And he said he would be sitting in pitch meetings thinking of his clients at his volunteer gig at the mental health clinic, which is when he knew he wanted to go back to school and be a therapist and not sit in pitch meetings anymore.
Yeah.
So he still writes quite a bit, but he needed to remove himself from that, at least from Hollywood.
Changed the way he came at, but it's still the writing that and working with that he does.
Yeah.
He to come at it a different direction.
But he's the only one. He's the only one I know who actually said, you know what, I want to think about this. I want to do writing for fun. I don't want to have to do it for money anymore, although he still does.
But yes.
It's a whole other thing. Anyway, any last words for all the writers who are listening, who may be stuck, who may find time to write, but when they sit down, they just go, I don't know. Why can't I be more interesting? Why can't I have a better vocabulary? Why can't I be whatever?
I would say that just like athletes or dancers or musicians, if you practice, you get better. You have to practice. Mick Jagger says, I practice every day so I can be, you know, amazingly brilliant. And so I would say to make the time every day to give yourself over to the writing practice.
Mm. Yeah, it's really that sitting down and just being, you know, that gluing yourself there. Seatbelting yourself in, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Show up at the page every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It was fun to actually have time to talk with you.
It was good to be back again, and gosh, it went fast.
It did go fast.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you so much. That was Judy Reeves. We were talking about A Writer's Book of Days, A Spirited Companion and Lively Muse. And I neglected to ask her website, but I believe it might simply be judyreeves.com. But let me say this. I always go to Google and I enter in whatever I'm looking for. And if that writer has a website and I put their name in, it usually comes up first. So you could Google Judy Reeves and find her website. Okay, well, we have a half more hour to go. We're going to take a short break when we come back. I think what I'm going to do, a few people had asked to run a bit more of that Dennis Palumbo show from a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even from last week because they missed it. And I think I'm going to do that and play a little music. Next week, we're going to have our annual Christmas show doing readings. If there's anything you want us to read, email me at penonfire@earthlink.net. And you can also visit my website, penonfire.com. and click on the radio tower. It will bring you to the radio page. You will be able to see who's coming on next. And you can reach the podcasts link there. You can also listen to archive shows from there. Come back. We will be here. And here's Brian Barrett doing Come Back, Baby.
Come back, baby, please don't go. No, I love you, darling, hate to see you go. Come back, baby, let's talk it over one more time. My heart's full of sorrow, mama aching tears. Gone 24 hours, child, seem like a thousand years. Come back, baby, let's talk it over one more time. Let's talk it over before you go away. Come back, baby, let's talk it over one more time.
Barbara DeMarco Barrett on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on KUCI FM in Irvine. Bye-bye.
Yeah!
What's this? Milk. Low-fat, no-fat. They're milk, too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low-fat, no-fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Some thoughts from John Cleese. A hotel.
Okay, we're back with Writers on Writing on 88.9 KUCI FM. We're also at KUCI.org. You can listen online wherever you sit on the planet. And what I'm going to do now is I am going to play part of a show with Dennis Palumbo, who is author of Writing from the Inside Out. Let's see how that goes. And hello and welcome again to Writers on Writing on 88.9 KUCI FM. We're broadcasting from the University of California, Irvine campus and on the web at KUCI.org. I'm Barbara DeMarco Barrett, and the show, as usual, features authors, editors, poets, and literary agents discussing the art and the business of writing. And today my guest is Dennis Palumbo. He's been on before. I'd love to have him on the show. He's a writer whose work includes many TV shows, the feature film.